Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Maximizing Your Gifting, and reminds you of the importance of pairing your gifts with one essential ingredient, love. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
You know, I did it again this week. Maybe you've done it too. Where I leave my house, I get ready, I go get in the car, I'm all ready to pull out, but I forgot one thing. Keys. My car works fine, but without keys, it doesn't go anywhere. And it's kind of humorous now because when I walk back into the house, my wife's usually holding them or something like, here you go, I knew you'd be back, right? Because while there's nothing wrong with the car, if I don't have my keys, it doesn't perform the way it needs to perform. As Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he's been talking about spiritual gifts in great detail and talking about how all these gifts are operative in their church. And even though there's been abuses on the gifts, and even though people have been self-indulgent, even though people haven't lived the way they've wanted, he's actually told them to aspire to greater gifts and seek greater gifts and don't forbid the speaking of tongues and all these different things. But he's going to tell us something today that the Corinthians have forgotten. And without this thing, they're not going to be able to operate the way they were intended to operate. And so this entire chapter, if you'd open your Bible up with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to talk about the things that the Corinthians had forgotten when it came to the operation of their gifts. And that thing is this. It's a simple word. It's love. Love. Without love, none of the gifts operate the way that Jesus Christ intended the gifts to operate. Let me say it this way. Without love, church can't be what church was supposed to be. Without love, you can't be in Christian service the way you're supposed to be. Love is the centerpiece of all Christian service, the way that we love. It shouldn't come as a surprise. Any reading through the Bible, any casual reading, you would come across John chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, for God so what? So loved the world that he gave, that he was generous with his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Love is predicated throughout. 1 John chapter 4 talks about love all over the place. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who doesn't love does not know God. For God is love. And it goes on to say in verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice or as a propitiation for our sins. Love is the centerpiece of all Christian service. And yet, even though we know this, even though we can nod our head and say, yeah, I got it. I know this. Just knowing it in our head is not enough. It's got to come through our heart. It's got to be exercised. I mean, even Jesus, when he met the Pharisees and they came to him to test him and said, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Do you remember how he responded in Matthew 22, starting in verse 37? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On this, all the law and the prophets hang. On this, you can be sure if you have love for God and love for other people, you're fulfilling everything that God wants. As a matter of fact, Jesus went so far as to say in John chapter 13, this is how people are going to know that you belong to me. This is how people are going to know you're my disciples. This is how people will know that you're followers of me. By what? By the love that you have for one another. I mean, love is the litmus test of all that God would have for us. So especially when it comes to spiritual gifts, I mean, at the end of chapter 12, Paul says, after he's kind of been wrapping up this idea of here's what spiritual gifts are, he's like, now, let me show you a more excellent way. Or let me show you a way that's far beyond comparison. Let me show you how to use your gifts in a way that will have such dynamic power in your life. And if you want to know individually how they're to operate, and you want to know as a church how they're to operate, that's why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13. Now, if you're familiar with this passage, which many of you will be, you'll get to a place where you realize, oh, this is the wedding passage, right? How many of you had read this read at your wedding, right? I can't remember if we did or not, personally. I was trying to think about that today. I'd have to go back and watch the DVD. But many weddings have it. It's a great place for weddings to have this because it's talking about God's character of love and what love is. The beauty of having it at a wedding is when you a husband and wife are getting married, they have no idea what that passage is about because love gets tested over time. Right? Every relationship you have, this love is going to be tested over time. And certainly when it comes to spiritual gifts, and when he is talking about spiritual gifts, we have to understand 1 Corinthians 13 is nestled right in the between 12 and 14, where he's laid out all the operation of spiritual gifts. And in chapter 14, he's going to talk about tongues and prophecy. And right in the middle, he's like, hey, you better get this one right. It's the motivation and the foundation for everything. It's love. And so the first thing he highlights is that this, love is paramount to all Christian ministry. Love is paramount to all Christian ministry, all Christian service. It is the most important thing. You get this right, a lot of other things fall into place. You get this wrong and everything goes haywire. You have a love for God and a love for others, everything falls into place. When it comes to spiritual gifts, if you have a love of Christ and a love for others, they fall into place. And as we've been talking, spiritual gifts are for the exaltation of Jesus Christ, the edification of his body, for the advancement of his kingdom. So we got to get this love thing right. And here's what Paul writes. He starts with hyperbole. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, check this out, it profits me nothing. I mean, Paul is speaking in grand hyperbole here, talking about some of the extreme things that one could do that without love are a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Without love are nothing. Without love profits nothing. And look at some of the things that he talks about. He's going to talk about tongue speaking, and we're going to get to that next week when we talk in chapter 14 about what tongues are and what prophecy is and how all that works and how all that operates in the church. And here's what Paul says, if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but I don't have love, what am I? I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy, I mean, he starts with speaking gifts. He says, if I speak with all the wisdom of God, if I have all the eloquence that I've ever needed, if I have angelic eloquence in what I say, but I don't have love in my heart, I'm nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I'll explain what that is in just a second. Then he gets to some of the believing gifts, where he says, if I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. In other words, if I have the kind of faith that can say to Pikes Peak and Mount Evans, y'all need to switch, and they move, but I don't have love in my heart, I'm nothing. Right? I can know all mysteries. I can know all knowledge. I can be the best Bible student in the world. I can know all about God. I can believe all about God. But if I don't have love for God in my heart and love for God's people, nothing. So it doesn't matter what I speak, and it doesn't so matter much what I'm believing in. Without love in my heart, it doesn't profit anything. And then he goes on to say this when he talks about the servant gifts. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor. He's not talking about if I tithe here. He's not talking about if I give a little over my tithe. He said this, if I give all my possessions, I give everything away to the poor, everything I have, okay? And then goes on to say this, and I surrender my body to be burned. I give it all away and I die at the stake, burning to death, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. I get nothing out of that. I mean, and think about this, what we celebrate in church. What do we celebrate? People who speak well on behalf of Jesus, people who believe well on behalf of Jesus, and people who serve well on behalf of Jesus. And I think we should champion that in the church. But if it doesn't have the motivation of a love for Jesus Christ and a love for God's people behind it, it's nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That's what he's saying. It is so foundational. And for those of you here that are sitting here saying, we know all this. I mean, God is love. God is love. I learned it as a little girl. I learned it as a little boy. I get it. I know you get it. Here's my question. Are you practicing it?
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Maximizing Your Gifting, reminding you of the importance of pairing your gifts with one essential ingredient, love. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Do you have a genuine love for Jesus, and do you have a genuine love for God's people? And whether or not you have a genuine love for Jesus is predicated on whether you have a genuine love for God's people, because in 1 John chapter 4, he says, how can you say you love God whom you haven't seen when you don't even love your brother whom you have seen, right? I mean, you're lying to yourself. If you don't have a love for God's people, you don't have a love for God, because God loves everybody. That's just who he is. And so Paul is saying, hey, when it comes to spiritual gifts especially, let me show you a more excellent way. Your motivation needs to be right on with God, right? I mean, in 1 Corinthians 16, later on we're going to get to this verse. It says, let all that you do be done in love. I mean, that sums up a lot. Love, love, love for God, love for others. Now, how do we get this? We get it through the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus who laid down his life for us and rose from the dead, who offers us love. And once we receive his love, we're able to extend it to others. But without it, we're nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You wonder why some people aren't in church today. You wonder why some people aren't around today. It's because they didn't see the love we had for one another. They saw a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Do you know why you push back at different parts of God's word, even though you know in your head it's true, but it makes you mad? Because at some point in time, it became a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Let me explain. I brought some props, okay? And just so you know, I've never had a single lesson in my life, right? These are called cymbals, right? Fortunately, I had a brother that was in a marching band once upon a time, and before he was in the drum line, he was a cymbal player, right? So I think I could have been a cymbal player too. Maybe not. But this is what Paul's talking about. He's saying, if you preach with all the eloquence in the world and you have prophecy and you know how to speak into somebody's life and you know everything that's going on, but you don't have love in your heart, here's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like to people. And by the way, one of our worship people this morning told me, he's like, Jeff, I know how you can do that to make it louder. I can give you a lesson. I'm like, no, this will be just fine. But you think about it. Some of you grew up, or some of you were in a church where a preacher didn't have love for his people, and that's exactly what you heard. It wasn't that what he was saying wasn't true. It's just that you heard this. And it was like, stop. Stop. Some of you are saying that right now, right? How many are saying stop? You get the point? And see, here's the problem, because sometimes, I mean, the further away you are from it, it doesn't bother you as much. So if my back is to you and I'm doing this, I mean, that doesn't bother you that much. If it's another church, it's another pastor, I've heard about it, it's not that big of a deal. But the closer that I get to you and the louder they become, and if I came down there and banged it right in Ricky's ear, he'd get up and leave, or he'd push me over or something. He wouldn't tolerate it, right? And that's what happens when we have a gift that doesn't have love. And that's why sometimes when I preach the word, and the word is true, and even when you see it in your Bible, like, yeah, that's true, but it doesn't feel right, because here's what you hear. Because for some of you, like when I talk about men being the head of a household, that's true. Scripture teaches that men are to be the spiritual leader of a home, but I know many of you are hurt by your father. And many of you are hurt by the men in your life. And many of you have been abused by them. And so when I stand up here and say men are the spiritual leaders in the home, here's what you hear. And because you hear that, you're like, I don't believe that guy, and I'm not going to this church anymore. That's not what you're hearing. You're not hearing the love of God. You're hearing what your experience was. And how many more could we talk about when it comes to spiritual gifts? Holy cow. I was an itinerant evangelist. I've been to every possible kind of service with the exception of a snake-biting church. Haven't been to that one yet, but every other thing I think I've experienced. People falling down, slain in the spirit, moving, genuine, ungenuine. I mean, I've seen all sorts of crazy. And if you've been around that, for some of you, when it comes to prophecy and tongues, here's what it's been for you. That's what was going on in Corinth, because you know what? You guys had enough of this? You get the point? Okay, here's what was going on in Corinth. What was going on in Corinth was everybody was using their spiritual gift for themselves. And nobody had a love for God and nobody had a love for the people. What they had was, here's who I am and here's how gifted I am, and you need to listen to me, or you need to believe like I believe, or if you only serve like I serve because I'm so awesome at it. And when you get people that don't have a love for God and don't have a love for his people, this is what it sounds like. And then you go out in the streets. Have you ever seen an evangelist be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal? They're preaching the same truth that you believe, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that God has an incredible love for you, but they don't have a love for God or a love for people, and it sounds like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, and people are rejecting the message, but they're not really rejecting Jesus. What they're rejecting is the presentation of somebody who is presenting him in a way that's not loving. Amen? And so that's why Paul's saying, hey, before we get to this whole spiritual gifts thing, before we talk about prophecy and tongues, you better get this right. You got to have love for God and love for others. And here would be a little quiz you could give yourself. Those areas in your life, like when you walk into church or you're around other Christians where you feel like pushing back, chances are you had somebody in your life that was a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And just because they were doesn't mean you need to reject the truth of God's word. What you need to do is forgive the person that was the noisy gong or the clanging cymbal in your life. Amen? That's what it means to love. And so love is paramount to all ministry. I mean, you can put up with a lot of nonsense as long as you know that there's love. Right? In a marriage, as long as there's love for God and love for each other, there's a lot of other things that can look different and be challenging. It can be okay. With your children, as long as there's a love for God and a love for them, a lot of things can work out. In a church, as long as there's a love for God and a love for his people, it can be a little different and weird. It can work out. But love is the motivation and the foundation for everything it's predicated on, because that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is centered on, is his love for us. So how could we serve him if we didn't have the same love for his people? And we didn't have the same love for his father. That's what it is. Love is paramount to all ministry. It's not about your giftedness, because to the extent that you're gifted, it was given to you by the Holy Spirit. It's not yours. People don't need your giftedness. They need the love of God in you that uses your giftedness for his glory. Amen? That's what he's talking about. So love is paramount to ministry. Then he says this in these very, very familiar verses of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Here's what he says. You need to receive the love of Christ so you can extend it. When it comes to your spiritual gifts, you need to be able to receive the love of Christ so that you can extend it. And Paul's going to define love, what it is and what it isn't. So let me just spell it out for you. Let's read through it and then we'll unpack it. Here's what he says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. That's what love is. I mean, it's a beautiful, Holy Spirit-inspired text that tells us everything that love is and love isn't. And as you're listening to this, I just want to tell you this. This can be a heart check for you, but I also want you to know from the get-go, this is not for you to walk out of here with a to-do list, because there's not one of us here that gets any one of these right every single time. Because think about all your relationships. I mean, perhaps you have a marriage relationship or a kids relationship, you have friend relationship, work relationships, neighbor relationships, school relationships. You have all sorts of different ones. And let's just be honest, some people are easier to love than others. That's why this is a comprehensive definition of what love is. How about this one? Love is patient. Some of you are like, okay, stop right there. That's enough. I got my full money's worth today in church. Love is patient. Like most of us think it means like waiting in a line and not getting upset. It's really the capacity to be wronged and not retaliate. That's what patience is. It's the capacity to be wronged and not retaliate. It's long suffering. When somebody wrongs you and you continue to love them back. Sometimes in the most intimate relationships you have, like inside a marriage, when somebody does something intentional or unintentional and it hurts, do you have the ability to love them back? It's not being easily provoked, right? Some of you have children that you love, that you've raised in the ways of the Lord that are now rebellious. They are going the exact opposite direction of everything that you modeled and taught in your home. They're trying your patience. Can you still love them? That's what it means to be patient. Long suffer with them. That's a definition of love. And by the way, if you can't be that way, it's only because you haven't seen how God sees you. See, I mean, if you have a hard time with suffering long with other people, here's what you can do. Here's a great prayer. I promise you, God will answer very, very quickly. God, has there been any area in my life where you've had to suffer along with me? What are they? whoosh, watch the Holy Spirit show up in your life. He will show you myriads of opportunities where he's bore with great patience in your life, not just before you got saved, but after you got saved. Not like last week, but like yesterday and like today. And he's going to show you things in your life where he's still bearing with great patience in your life. And once you can receive that and you know, God, if you love me that much, how could I withhold that from anybody else? One of the reasons we're not patient with others is because we don't realize how patient God is with us. If you find yourself like, I can't suffer long with other people, it's because you don't realize how much God has suffered long with you. Amen? What's kind? Love is kind. That's just benevolence, goodness, kindness. It's just generally being good to other people, right? The Bible says it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Don't you love that? It's not God's wrath that leads us to repentance. It's not God coming down and shaking us saying, I hate you if you don't repent. No. It's God's love that was demonstrated on the cross at Calvary where Jesus Christ stretched his arms out saying, I love you this much no matter what. And if you never ever accept me and never ever confess me as your Lord and Savior, that will not change the fact that I created you and I love you with an unconditional love and I want to shower you with good because that's the kind of God that I am. Right? So how can you be good to others? Realize how good God is to you. Every good and perfect gift you have is from him. The air that you breathe is from him. If you're able to walk into this building, that was a gift from him. If you have your health, that's a gift from him. If you have any relationship at all with anybody who's kind to you, that's a gift from him. If you have any resources whatsoever, that's him. If you had shelter over your head last night, that was him. If somebody spoke a kind word into your life, that was him. I mean, any good thing is him. And when you realize all that comes from him, then what do you want to do? I want to pour that out to others so other people can experience how good my God is to me. Love is patient. Love is kind. What is it not? It's not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant and does not act unbecomingly. Jealous simply means this. Jealous is the idea of intense negative feelings towards others. I think it's simpler than that. I think it's not being able to celebrate other people's success. That's jealousy. I mean, that's how I put it in layman's terms. It's when you look at other people and you ask the question, why is it so good for them when it's not so good for me? Why do they get to make that amount of money when I'm better at my job than they are? Why do they get to live in that house? How come their marriage doesn't seem to have these problems? How come they're dating and I'm not? How come they got into that school and I did? How come? How come? How come? Why? That's jealousy. Love isn't like that. See, love is content in who you are. Love is content in what God's done in your life. Love is knowing that God loves me with an unconditional love, so I don't need to be jealous of others. Love is knowing that God is an abundant God. So by giving to others, God's not robbing me. I mean, when other people are successful or blessed or something, that's a way for me to celebrate them because that's my God that gave that to them. I'm excited that he's working in their life, not how come I didn't get it. Love celebrates other people. It's not jealous of other people, right? What about this? Love does not brag. Bragging's pretty easy to define. It's when you're the center of all attention. It's when you're the one talking about yourself. I mean, usually it's the bragger has three favorite people, me, myself, and I, and that's who I like to talk about, right? And they talk, and they name drop, and they're always talking about their successes and what they've done, and hey, you know who I'm talking about. You got the person in your mind. You're like, that's the person. You're like, they needed to be here for this weekend. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us, that when we can be this way. I mean, as I've liked to say before, the braggart is the one that says, you know what, that's enough talk about me. Let's talk about you for a second. What do you think about me? Right? I mean, that's the braggart. Every conversation centers around them, their accomplishments, their wife, their kids' accomplishments, their husband, who they've done, where they've been, what they've done in order to create jealousy in you, right? That's the braggart. Love's not like that. Why? Because love's content and love has the ability to ask questions and love has the ability to care about other people and love's engaged with others. It is not arrogant or it does not act unbecomingly. All these four go together. Arrogance is really an exaggerated self-perception. It's ego. That's what arrogance is. Arrogance is the idea that I'm so needed. In every relationship I'm in, I am so needed. My marriage wouldn't be what it is without me. My kids wouldn't be what they are without me. This church would not be able to survive without me. I mean, it's me. It's me. It's all about me. That's arrogance.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Maximizing Your Gifting, reminding you of the importance of pairing your gifts with one essential ingredient, love. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit BraveChurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.